Channel One Over. Channel One Over in continuation to visit with Cookie and Mark. Mark, really. And Cookie, this Monday at supper, the 1st of November, 71. Now, there's a good bit left out right here that is the most important part in the tape, and that's Cookie's case. You don't have a degree. Channel One Over, a continuation visit with Cookie and Mark, Mark mostly, this Monday, the 1st of November, 71. Again, Channel One Over, a continuation visit with Mark and Cookie's here for a while, this Monday at supper, the 1st of November, 71. Channel One Over.
Something of statement. I guess a guy could give something of himself, and it might not be anything that was in common with the person that recipient receives the gift.
He was just.
I don't know. I wonder if he talks like this all the way through. I don't think he does.
He got me. I don't know anything about that.
I seen the first part of the book. I don't know what the language is like.
What was your... Now, this is not your field?
This has something in common with what I acquainted with. In that he's concerned with language, the structure of language, the various uses to which language can be put, and all the aspects of the use of language, emotional aspects, for example, the informative aspects of language, all the different uses of language, is studied in philosophical analysis, which was unfortunately philosophical analysis or language analysis was the sort of philosophy I went through in grad school. It was that particular style of philosophy in Chapel Hill, at the Department of Philosophy. And so I was exposed about 4.5 years, my length, and well, actually, I guess 3, because I got away from it as quick as I could on my dissertation. It wasn't like that at all. Except for some concession to it, so they'd say, okay, we'll let you pass. But through about 3 years, I had lots of courses dealing with the structure, logical structure of language. Ideal languages, such as logical systems, you know, with the symbols and the rules, like mathematics, as well as ordinary language. So it was all linguistically oriented. And that's what's in common with this. Now it appears that he's not so oriented around the logical structure of language so much as what it says about man in society, or man as he experiences things. But this would be somewhat of my interest if that's what he's concerned with, and yet I'm not at all fond of the language he uses. The phrase, he says here, the phrase rhetoric of history does not contain or imply religious words or implications. I mean, rhetoric of history, the phrase, I mean, I'm just not in tune with that sort of concern with the phrases. Oh no, here he's got, although our dialogicians and speech thinkers antedate most of those involved in theological hermeneutics and radical or death of God theology, their concern seems particularly relevant just at the point where the interest of death of God in hermeneutic theologians in. I could reread and reread that sentence. Now, I could not make any sense out of it.
Well, now, is that what you used to do?
No. It was better than this. Of course, I was exposed to some of the gobbledygook has been used by some people as to characterize this sort of use of language, needless use of fancy words. just when you resort to something like this, I'm not too sure that you know what you're talking about, really, because so many people who use words that you can't find in a dictionary, like dialogician, you couldn't find that in the dictionary. Speech thinkers, you know, coining their own words. Hermeneutic theologians. Hermeneutics would be found in the dictionary, but most of the a lot of the words I've been kind of in the paragraph you showed me that I just read, if you asked them what they meant, asked Harold Stamer what he means, I think he'd have a problem telling you what he means by his words. You'd find out that he's not so clear about what he says as it would assume that he would be if he uses this sort of language. That's my experience. People use this sort of language. They, when you ask them what they mean and really get into them, you ask them questions, and they're going to have a lot of trouble telling you. But then it's a game. It's a language game. If you're not, you know, all sorts of people have their own styles of language. As Cookie said, Cookie said something that was really, you know, true. It's not Cookie's language. I don't know whether but Stamer could. I don't know whether Stamer could understand Cookie.
Yeah.
His language. No.
I wonder.
Uh-huh.
It's a long way to go, isn't it?
Yeah, but the point is, Stamer only uses this for when he's talking to a few people who have the interest that he has. It's a small circle that play a game. Just like kids today have, some kids have their own style of speaking, which
how did you get started in that type of thought, Mike?
Unfortunately, I got started by finding myself into a graduate school, being accepted at a graduate department, which was very faddish, very stylish. You know, it went with certain styles and was very, the word is provincial, I guess, had very narrow conception of what is proper in the way of philosophizing. So they frowned on anything but concerned with language analysis.
Yeah.
But they'd pick up this book and they'd say essentially what I said about it.
How did you get into philosophy in the first place?
I got into philosophy because I was raising questions for a long time which weren't answered in physics,
yeah,
which weren't answered in special disciplines.
Yeah.
For example, I wanted to know from a physicist,
yeah,
just why he uses certain talks in a certain way about light, for example, as having being a wave or being in particles. So I'd keep asking him questions, and finally I just got, well, that's just the way we speak.
Yeah.
And that didn't satisfy me. And they weren't concerned, the physicists weren't concerned with the their tools, their methods. They assumed their method in order to, and the problem was how to, come to an understanding of observable phenomena, assuming certain methods.
Yeah.
And I had questions about the methods. Now, and they didn't raise those questions. I had questions about religion, which aren't answered by theologians.
Yeah.
I was concerned with literature. I thought about literature for a while. Questions weren't answered in literature that I was raising. And so I got into philosophy because I had simple questions about trying to make sense out of my own life.
Yeah.
Like, a very simple question. Everyone ponders over, like, what death means for me. They're very personal questions. And unfortunately, I found out that philosophy, but too late, that philosophy's language analysis is concerned with, how are you using the word death? I just don't care about it. I don't know. I want to know what you think about death, and I want to know what you think about birth. I want to know what you think about this guy who in the country who's living the way he does and is very happy, and just why is he happy and I've got so much education and I'm so unhappy? Why is that the case? No, very personal questions that bother me, and they weren't answered. And they are answered by some philosophers, but not by the graduate study that I was exposed to. Unfortunately, those philosophers answered.
So stammer. It was a sort of a trap.
It was a trap. Grad school. Yeah.
The questions you wanted answered weren't answerable to start with.
Well, let me tell you something.
And then you got in a place where the answers got to be more and more difficult, you might say.
Well, if you asked me now whether I'd go to college, I'd say I may go to undergrad school for a little while. But I'd probably go into something like, crafts. Or carpentry if there was a trade school. I'd be exposed to a little liberal arts and hopefully an experimental college. I don't want to be exposed to any more large classrooms with the usual sort of lecture. I couldn't go through that again. So I wouldn't go through the college years that I went through if I did it over again. And so far, you go so far in grad school. Some people ask me, why did you?
Keep on?
Yeah, it's irrational. I can't explain. It's just that when you go so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, you say, well, might as well finish it. And I began realizing the pointlessness of it, the absurdity kind of early in life, before it started, even high school, I got the notion that the more degrees you have, the better person you are.
Yeah.
Now, this wasn't explicitly said, you know, but it was somehow implicit in our environment, especially my immediate environment, my family, that the more degrees you have, the more worthwhile a person you are to listen to be heard. And that just several years ago, midway through grad school, I said, that's nonsense. I was meeting people who dropped out of school, didn't want to continue, didn't want to even enter college, that absolutely fascinated me by their conception of the way they thought about their lives and my life and the way they could speak about it and their excitement over Shakespeare, their excitement over Jesus, and their insights into what they said. And it didn't come from any sort of college experience. And in fact, when you saw them picking up Shakespeare, it was when they dropped out of college that they began reading Shakespeare, and they began reading with some, you know, real exuberance, some fascination. So it was, but you know, if you go that far, continue, don't drop it.
And one thing leads to another, those big lecture halls.
Can you avoid them? Do you teach in big classes?
No, I don't teach any, but there's plenty of them, you know.
Yeah. And the worst thing it must be is for those big classes to occur at the introductory levels, where you really do need these. The introductory levels are the most, you know, the word for it, I guess, is profound or deep or something like that. They have more to say, more meaning than some of the seminars where you have the language games played that this is an example of.
Well, I tell you, Mark, you have an experience. I'd like to, you know, sort of keep up with your thinking, the way you work it out. Now, you see, on the way out here this afternoon, we clashed several times. And I forget how did we start that?
We're discussing Suzanne's, what I described as her sense of humor. And Gus said, you said that you described her as having a light touch. That's what, and you said you couldn't understand, or you didn't use the word humor. It wasn't part of your vocabulary. It was academic or something like that. It was, and I tried to rephrase what you said, and you said, Mark, I've noticed or something like that that you rephrase, that you're constantly saying over again, trying to say over again what I'm saying, and you're not doing it. You're trying to. And then I said in defense of that, I got two reasons for that. One is to try to find out if I really did understand what you said. And one way I can do that is to see if I could summarize it. So it's not motivated by any sort of concern of myself as so much as trying to listen to you, trying to get what you're
saying. Trying to get straight.
Yeah. And the other reason for my repeating what other people say is that sometimes I do it and then add a variation in order to suggest that there's something presupposed or implicit that the person who said the comment didn't realize. And so we got off in the...
Let me tell you. Now, when I said that, a restatement of it, I know where it was. Let me tell you, Mark. Yeah. I know where it was. Now, this was my own experience, and I couldn't remember where it was.
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning of the Channel 5, the educational NET, you know, the educational network,
mm-hmm.
The New York Times had this remarkable program with Tom Wicker and another fella. And then one of the older men there in the Times, what's his name, please? Markle. Markle. All right. Markle invariably would restate what they said, and he would just get in their hair something awful. And Tom Wicker would sit there and say, Mr. Markle, I didn't say that. And you know, I got so I'd just sit there, you know, and I'd get nervous all over, just waiting for Markle to restate what he said, and for Tom Wicker to tell him, Mr. Markle, that's not what I said.
Well, you know,
now that's what it was, and I pulled on you.
And when you're facing a public, especially when you're exposed to audience, you know.
Yeah.
That tactic, rephrasing what another person said, is often a way of pointing up its absurdity. And what you do is rephrase it, but you want to show up the person. But you rephrase it in a way to show up how foolish what is what the other person said. But now, when you're just in dialogue, for me, of course, we don't have an audience. Often, when we speak, for example, in a car, it's a sincere attempt. Is this what you said? And I don't care to argue with you at all. It's a technique I use for trying to get myself to listen better. And let me ask you this. I don't think you could use that technique very well. I don't think you would want to. But I wonder about it. For example, we went to a store to buy some staples, you know? Some jiggers, as you call them. And you have this wonderful way of getting the people in conversation, and you got a woman in the conversation who worked there, one of the clerks, and she was describing how to make a bonnet. Now, you have an interest in the way people say what they do, the quality of their voice. But now, if you also had an interest in their content, just what they are saying, then you might be driven, you might employ the sort of thing, or might use the sort of technique that I'm using, namely try to, well, now, is this what you are saying? Is this what you were saying about making a bonnet? I don't think you could. It would have been possible for you to rephrase her instructions as to the making of a bonnet. And so you wouldn't, in my conception of things, from my point of view, be listening to her, really listening to her. But you've said some things recently that has said, well, now maybe there's another way of listening. And that is not so much at what the person has said, but how they say it. And that must be what you're concerned with. If that's what you're concerned with, then you wouldn't be using the sort of, you wouldn't be, you know, trying to rephrase it, I guess.
Well, I would listen to what she says about the bonnets. I wouldn't get it exactly straight. But you see, once she starts reporting on her bonnet, I can't stop her and ask her to put in the footnotes. Then it'll make it heavy. So I've got to wait my chance. Some other time.
I see.
You see, when she's just sitting there doing nothing, I say, now just about that bonnet, I kind of forget how the stuff was put in back there.
Yeah. See? No, I see. That's, you know, you could do that. Yeah. And that would enable the conversation to continue.
Well, it keeps the lighter touch.
Yeah.
Keeps her.
But the hardest thing to do of all, and I've kind of made myself, I committed myself to this, and maybe I shouldn't, and I'm going to get away from it, because I see that it does kind of annoying. And it is a very hard thing to be able, honestly, sincere attempt to rephrase what another person has said, and to do so with the attempt to get it exactly what they said, and to, in fact, use their language as much as possible, because that really is a test of whether or not you listen to them. And it's that sort of listening that I'm trying, because I used not to listen to people at all.
Oh, really?
Books were more important than people.
Yeah.
For me, for many, many years. And so, just lately, in the last several years, I've used that technique to try to get myself to listen. And if I didn't listen, I'd say I'd annoy the other person. I would annoy the other person if I didn't rephrase it correctly, and that would be one of the, would be a good result. Say, okay, well, now, just what, repeat what you said then. Then I try again. Well, now, this is what you said. And it's a great, closer and closer approximation, and finally they say, yeah, okay, now that is what I said, you see.
Mm-hmm.
By then, we're angry at each other. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay. So it may.
But you are making an effort to listen.
That is the reason behind it. It's not for an audience. And if it was for an audience, I might use the technique philosophers use that in forums and debates, whether it's for seminars, to, we'll do it with variation and an implicit argument to show how foolish what is what the other person said. But when you're just concerned with, you know, in a dialogue, for me, it's a test of myself. If I can't rephrase what you said, if I can't, in fact, use your words, then I really haven't come to grips with you. I haven't gotten into your world at all. And so it's, I keep at it and I keep at it, but it can be self-defeating, because you...
You see, Faye, Mark has got a... Barra has got a, he's worked out a method that where his brain works. And the only difference in him and me is I found out long ago that my brain didn't work. And unless it just came to me, I might as well go home and sit down.
He can't sit down and say, now let's intuitive.
When I tell you, if I got, if Stamer was here, and if I was in just a dialogue situation with Stamer, I would, Mr. Stamer, I would, I would be in quite a bit of argument with him.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think he's making sense.
I don't think he was questioning what he's saying here. And I would use part of that would be rephrasing him. Well, now, is this what you mean? But it would be not, I have two purposes behind it. One is to try to really get at what he's saying, and be honest, but also, I would sense with the stamer, a guy who wants to play, who wants to play a little professional game with certain rules. And I would, so I would use that technique with some other sort of moves that philosophers make in order to point up some of the absurdities that I would sense in something like this. It was something particular that was said. But with you, I don't see that we're playing games, you see. I don't see that you're playing any professional game, that you want to argue. And so for you and for most people I meet, outside of the classroom, it's a sincere way of testing myself.
Well, now, he's using the word speech, and you see his use of the word speech and mine would be not in the same world.
Could you talk with him when he was out here? Cookie could, because I guess Cookie said he kind of, well, he didn't talk.
He stayed on Molly most of the time.
And talk about Molly.
Well, it's just
He has a way of talking about a professor at Princeton, his horse, and things like that. So that his world is right elevated. That is his small talk.
Very good.
Now what, but Cookie's talk, such as we just heard, now Cookie has a gift for reporting. It's clear, it's informative, and it's interesting. And it's some of the finest reporting I've heard. He's done it right here. I can't, with this thing in mind, I don't see, I can't see that Cookie's gift for language would have any relevance at all to him. But I see, to me, Cookie has a gift for language and he doesn't. I mean, anybody can use that sort of language. I used to admire the people who spoke French in a national language. But what they did, they spoke it in the dictionary sense, in the etymological sense. It required no ability at all. No knowledge of language. Or no knowledge. They could still get by in French.
Would you say Cookie has a? Would you say that you get an idea of Cookie's philosophy? You know, way he thinks about his life, about how to deal with people, from the way he reports.
Well, now you see, you've got to choose your categories. That's what I said to you about the preacher a while ago.
But philosophy is a term that, a word that I don't find academic at all. I find it, in fact, battled around so much that almost anything counts as philosophy.
That's right. That's right.
So I think Cookie would, in fact, say, well, my philosophy, he wouldn't say it normally, but I don't like his philosophy. Cookie, I think, would find that to be a phrase that he would be comfortable with. I don't like this guy's philosophy. And he'd mean by that something that I could understand far more than what most philosophers say about philosophy.
Well, now, he's never abstract.
Well, philosophy can be very concrete in how you can...
As you were saying it there, though, Cookie would never make a statement of that sort.
Uh-uh.
Nobody I know in the countryside would.
They wouldn't say something like, I like that guy's philosophy.
Mm-mm.
Oh, no.
He wouldn't say that, or... Because, you know, they could mean by that just the way that guy deals with people.
Sometime in religion they'll say It's not religion, they'll say, that's his fault. He just don't believe in Jesus.
Mm.
Now, and the meaning there, that's still not abstract.
Well, someone will say, well, he's just not religious. Well, is religious abstract? I don't know. Is religious philosophy? I didn't know that. I thought maybe that they would use the word religion a lot, and they'd say, this guy's religious, just as they might say of philosophy. This guy's got a good philosophy. I mean by that, this guy is down to earth. I can deal with this guy. But the cookie might say, I don't like this guy's philosophy. And mean by that, that Stamer just doesn't talk about his experiences when he's alive, when he's on the farm. He just doesn't talk about them.
Well, now, let me tell you, Mike, I told you that. We've talked about that out here. I was trying to deal with some of the people out here. I didn't ever propose, when I bought this place or made a payment on it, I didn't have in mind living out here. I was just going to have that old trailer that used to be over there.
Mm.
And the magnolia tree fell over, and I had to put it over here where I had a little shade. I actually put it over here where I'd have all the buildings in one row. And wouldn't hem in, but I'm hemmed in in other ways. And the people who came out here just beat me. Came out here to beat me. And it was unpleasant and unprofitable. And somewhere along the line, it was just a bad situation. There wasn't anything I'd do about it. And I think we talked to you about that one time. This boy over here, Sims, used to come. He didn't have a job then. And he'd come over here and ride Noopy.
Oh, yeah.
You heard Faye talk about
that. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Well, that's it. Now, that's the first toehold we got into the countryside. The very first. Now, and I've had disastrous situations. I mean, knock down, drag out. I know we never did that exactly, but it was next thing to it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was serious misunderstanding. And there really were. Now the first headway I actually made was when I fixed up the tape and taped some of that talk and listened to it.
Because we weren't hearing.
We weren't hearing what they
what
said.
We weren't hearing.
Well, that's a way of, you know,
and
repeating. They're repeating
right.
what they said,
that's
but you're
right.
not asking them. And that's probably better, because if you asked them, now let me repeat what you said,
yeah.
then they'd
yeah.
probably think you're
but
arguing
you see,
with
you
them.
Could, that's, right. that's right.
But
if
you could actually.
Hear it and
that
say,
I see.
Uh-huh.
So that actually is. I think
yeah.
some of the things that I've been trying to do, but I can see the
it's
better.
It's very difficult.
Yeah.
I can see that yours has advantages.
Well, you see, you have this extraordinary sense of honesty, which I never was I never had that. You see, all of that, you see, I have to manipulate people. But that didn't worry me. I wasn't going to publish it, you see. It was just here and actually enabled us to live together. That's what it, the way it worked out. And,
yeah, I'm really, really surprised at what taping can do for
yeah.
It's enabled us to understand Cookie.
Yes.
If
it hadn't been for that, Cookie would have been gone from here long ago.
We could never.
You see, the truth is not in him.
I don't
you
understand.
Don't know,
what do you mean by that?
You don't know where he's going, 44th Street, and you don't know who he's going to see.
Oh, I see. So he's a guy who's not straight.
Well,
straight.
It's just Cookie, yeah.
Right.
But you see this.
You see.
So he could sit here and
yeah.
tell you that he's good. He is going someplace tonight, and he doesn't. He might be doing something quite different. You know?
Yeah. But we had to find that out.
Yeah. Well,
and that could be repeated.
You're not looking. Mm-hmm. That's not actually important.
Yeah.
But that's not really the thing that's important.
No.
No.
I tell you the big thing that it was is that I would expect something of them.
Uh-huh.
Now you see, my expectation could go for 6 months, and they would hardly get any signal from me at all that I was thinking that they weren't coming up. But eventually, you see, I'd have enough.
Yeah.
The expectation. And I learned not to expect anything. That is to say, not have that expectation hanging over. If you expect it, don't bring it up, clear it up. Get out from under it. Isn't that right?
So you just don't have those worries anymore.
Don't.
About counting on someone to...
Well, it's not my worry. It gets them.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
They don't want to live under that expectation.
Oh.
And they sense it just like
so
that.
So that may be behind what you said about Cookie's
yeah.
offering. Of course, Cookie may have said in a joking way that he had an apology. He might have been sincere, I don't know.
Well...
And he said, I don't want your apology. And you probably really meant that. That you don't... Or maybe you're just
no,
joking.
No, they knew what they were talking about this fellow yesterday, so they knew what they were
oh,
talking
I see.
About.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
That was understandable.
I thought...
But there's just the whole...
Mistake
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, now that's... So the tape actually has enabled this place to exist. It had been gone long ago. If I hadn't had the tape.
And
I have gone through, I have made all the blunders on the taping, you see, all of them.
But it's enabled you
to hear.
Get them to repeat.
To hear.
And repeat and repeat
yeah.
what
and
they said.
And to understand.
And it
that's right.
really, I
and,
see,
and,
yeah.
and you just.
Yeah. And if you ask
how
them to repeat.
How many conversations things,
yeah.
have you had just with just around anyway that you can really
yeah.
keep it straight after you do?
I can't.
Yeah.
This
I can't.
Is my our trouble too, Mike.
Yeah.
It's not just, yeah.
Well,
the
no,
way it was
you.
Said as well as what was said.
That's
I can't
right.
retain it.
Yeah. Suzanne can.
In it kind of memory?
Yeah, because she has a light touch. She doesn't retain it in her memory. That faculty called memory is something that is oughtn't to never be used.
So that's not what you would say about her. She has a light touch, and that's enabled her.
Yes,
it's just with her.
Yeah. No, she developed it. She couldn't do it when I first saw her. She learned it working with me, but I didn't develop it. I can do pretty good.
Yeah.
I can do it, but it's more of an effort with me and with her. It's a gift, and it's... She does it with ease. I could show you some of the little pieces of her reporting.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see, the only people that that come out here, that is keep coming,
yeah.
are the ones who come out and report.
Yeah.
I see you reporting now. But people also ought to use a typewriter to report. And report with that same light touch that Suzanne has. Now you see how I jumped to the day? You heard me.
And they're in town.
How you jumped me?
Jumped her.
Oh, no, I didn't
there
understand what was behind it. I don't know what
she has typed out these fine reports about Miss Guthrie.
Yeah, and you weren't entirely pleased by some situations.
Beautiful. Now she hasn't done Mr. Weaver.
Oh yeah,
and he's her favorite.
I see.
And she hadn't done Miss Chitty, and Miss Chitty is the very top violinist. Has the greatest skill of anyone we've talked to.
Yeah.
Herself. In reporting. and Suzanne had none. I jumped Suzanne, and I did it in these terms. Very light touch. And it'll take. I mean, she can't ignore it. It'll stay with her. And she has to have those things. I said to her, Suzanne, it's just a matter of mortality. Remember that? I said, Faye's, some of her most gifted friends have just been lost in sinkholes. And it's frightening to think what has happened to some of her marvelous friends. I just wouldn't even want to see to you.
Well, now that I don't quite, because that seems to indicate that maybe reporting to you is not just a scholarly sort of thing. It's also a sincere attempt to keep someone in your life.
No. What I'm doing is putting a little firecracker under. And I said to her, you see, with all your gifts, this will happen to you. Some big semi will run you down.
Some big what?
Semi.
What's a semi?
Semi truck.
Truck trailer.
He just.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not joking. It's serious.
I know.
He can do it. With all the chances that she takes, she has a bicycle right in the traffic. Now she's riding that motorcycle, you see.
Yeah.
She's just flirting with mortality. And what I said to her was that Mr. Weaver deserves... Now, Tarwater, you see, she knows. Old Tarwater has to be buried. That's in one of the books that she read. Old Tarwater adopted this boy so he'd have somebody there to bury him.
Yeah.
And she owes it to Mr. Weaver.
Yeah.
He has been of that much service to her and lifted her spirits. And she owes it to him to do those little eulogies in a way. Those little sketches such as she has turned out on Ms. Guthrie. She owes it to him.
This is her gift.
But that's a gift.
So you see it as not merely satisfying your own scholarly interest,
but as being something
you owe to another person
to be able to get
what they are, to see what they are.
Sure. It's nothing to do with God.
Well, it's nothing to do with just...
Another piece of mortality on her part. You see, she uses such extraordinary poor judgment. She took a quick course in colonial history, American history. And of all the courses that you take, the history department is one that has no quick courses in it. And colonial American history is about as dull as you can find. It's as slow as you can find. There's nothing in American history, at least until Jefferson, you see. Mm-hmm. Franklin and Jefferson, later part. She gets hung up on that. It takes her out of circulation. Mr. Weaver will be gone.
Yeah.
And then she can't do it. You see, as soon as he's 6 foot under, the whole thing will change. And she won't have the light touch. It'll be a eulogy then, really. But now, you see, it can be a sort of meeting. And she owes it to him, to herself, almost posterity. It's such a beautiful thing that she can do. But she's just a child, you see. And she gets caught. You see, all the institutions have such traps.
Yeah.
None of them work in favor of a man anymore.
Yeah.
The one thing you can't trust anymore is an institution. Marriage, the Department of Philosophy, all of them, you see, will trip you.
Yeah.
And it don't take them long to do it. All you got to do is believe in them, and that's the end of you.
And go by their rule.
Yes, sir. The only salvation is a position of doubt that is not worth a tinker's damn. That'll keep you on guard.
And the Suzannes of the world, Mark. Now you had focus and direction, but you'd be, there's very few girls that we've ever met.
Yeah, they can't get through.
You see, that's even in my field. You see, the girls always have to take care of Uncle Jojo, or they always have to bake a cake, or they always have to, they're tied.
They're tied.
Yeah. And a girl will more than anybody. And here's this girl with all this gift.
Yeah.
And somebody has to sort of put a firecracker under her to keep her going.
And I can do anything, Suzanne, and she won't be mad at me.
No.
She's been working with me since she came here, the fall of 68.
Mm-hmm. And she's got this gift. And it's not Guy and scholarship.
And she's as close to me, I guess, as a child ever was.
Yeah.
But she could, she just loves to fritter.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Should, all these chances, you see, mortality, there's not said over and over again, see. Now, that's what you're writing.
I see. I wonder what was behind it. And that's really illuminated some things.
That's,
I understand what reporting is for you. It's a way, it's something that you owe to some other people. I didn't realize there's that kind of thing behind it.
Oh, that's it.
Oh, yes. It's not something.
Well, I appreciate much more now.
It's
not
something to play with.
I thought it was just a scholarly game.
See, I work with
anthropologist.
I put all sorts of time on cooking. He doesn't know how much time I put on it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it enables me to live with him. You see, and I learn from him. And
but you're genuinely concerned about Cookie's welfare and about maintaining.
And
if he doesn't come here, you wonder when in the week, you wonder what happened to him.
Sure we do.
Not just because you're going to miss out on reporting.
Oh, no.
But because you're
no.
just genuinely concerned.
No, I got plenty
of reporting
material. Okay, I just didn't realize
it's enabled
us to see.
Well, I see that's you. You ought to know that without having to be told.
Well, I tell you, I don't know. Maybe I should. I couldn't see this other dimension to it. I couldn't see that this was behind reporting. I saw it as a scholarly sort of thing. This is your classroom, and you bring the university here, and this whole thing is a big classroom for you, and you're treating these people around here as an anthropologist would treat people, you know, collecting facts on.
And
which
so
is very different from, which is very different from, you know, genuinely being wrapped up in someone's welfare.
Trying to understand. You see, you gave us the clue when you said you were trying to listen.
Yeah, and that was my technique. Right. And then you suggested that reporting for you is that sort of thing, trying to get another person's world, but not face to face, so that you would annoy them by asking them to. That is kind of annoying now that you've drawn attention to it.
Restate it so you can understand.
Is this what you mean? No. Well, let me try harder. Is this what you mean? No. Okay, I could see that would. That would get a person shut up pretty fast.
Light touch. And move, and turn it loose. Turn it loose. Make a statement and turn it loose. Turn it loose fast.
I don't understand that now, because I have difficulty, really. I'm sincere about this. I'm not quick of mind. And so I have used for a way of examination. And that's one reason I went into philosophy, because I had too many physicists, too many theologians, too many English professors who say something and say, well, now this is what he means. Now we move on. And I just will not take that. I want to stay still. Let me hold. Now, what did you say?
Yeah.
Just what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Really? I don't think that's what he says at all. Hold it now. Don't go on with the class. I know it's over in 50 minutes.
Yeah.
But by golly, I want to understand what you're saying now.
Yeah.
Now, another way, I guess, is as you said, to get it and then drop it. And I could do that only if I was quick of mind. Because I really want to understand people, so I kind of go back to a statement they said, and I say, bring that up again. What did you say a few minutes ago?
Yeah. Well, you see, that makes it so heavy, it changes the whole thing.
Oh, I see. For me, it's a genuine attempt to understand it, but
you're celebrating so hard, you see, that there's no possibility of seeing it. The celebration is so intense.
It's an intense effort to try to understand what is said, not to argue with them.
But understanding is a lower gift.
I don't see it. I don't see understanding as in the clouds at all.
It is one of the least of all the gifts.
I see it as getting to a person's feelings, perhaps. Dealing with their feelings. And if I can somehow... Is this what you said? Oh, then it might strike my feeling in me and I can... That I've had. I don't see it as high in the clouds as you see it. Understand?
I don't see it high in the clouds. I see it
as abstract. I don't see it.
No, I see it as sort of a nuisance.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a low gift. It's a very low gift. It's like honesty. You know, nobody wants to go around making a point of being honest or sincere. You assume those things. And when the occasion arises, just don't be honest or sincere.
Oh, we're on different boats. You're fooling me. Oh, I know you're fooling me.
Wow. Oh, Mike, you want some water?
Hey, should I, is this... Really, the case that I can be here at see Ms. Davis at 7 in the morning?
Sure you can. I'll tell you just exactly how to get out there. Won't be any trouble.
If that's good water, then that's that special water.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Let me get some. Fill it up again.
No, this is fine.
Is that enough?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
This is fine. I got a tractor to put in there. You got light in that shed?
You don't need to worry about that. Just let it set out. There's no
is that okay?
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to rain.
No, Mark, let me tell you. I use some fairly difficult material, but I try not to approach it in a difficult way. But the way I start out the literature courses now is with Mark Twain's Roughing It. It's sort of travel. Mm-hmm. And what he does is report what he sees. And from that I go to Ms. Rawlins' Cross Creek, which is also prose, and she's talking about true people, what she saw, her experiences over there. Now, she doesn't have Mark Twain's light touch, but she knows more than he does about the subject she writes about, so that her method is a little bit more substantial.
See, I'll read her book, because I haven't.
So what you do, you see, you sort of balance them, and enables you to see the experiences, and neither one of them, you see, think. They don't indulge in thought. Yeah, no abstractions, no statements of opinion to speak of. If they are, they're just incidental. The experience almost speaks for itself. Now, you see, then I'd go from that into something just a little past that. And eventually, the finest thing in this kind of, that I've been able to handle,
mm-hmm.
is that thing of Faulkner's The Hamlet.
Oh.
But you see, I'm dealing in fiction. Except I don't read it as fiction. I read it as an experience.
Mm.
That he's reporting something that he knows about. That's where I read the Hamlet. So,
yeah.
I don't...
Well, these people, I guess, you indicated earlier
that you kind of get someone started and then you move out of the way.
Try to keep out of the way. Yeah. Try to.
To understand that.
And these are what these authors do. And is that what you mean by not thinking? Because you're not thinking about what you can do except to start things off. And then you move out of the way and thinking.
Well, I work with them all the time.
Or the concentration is on the other person.
Mm-hmm.
The other person is... maybe that's true to some.
Well,
I'm not sure.
I can tell you. You see, we live in a different world. Mm-hmm. And I have tried from time to time to enter yours, and it always injured my mind, you see. And my mind not near as good as it used to be, because I've spent month after month getting into material like this. I didn't know it about. And it was
a real mind trip,
got,
as the young people say.
It got there. And sometimes I did it in another language. You talking about it, that will get you, see? Well, I'm telling you.
That sort of thing in another language, yes.
You know, that's why I suggested to you to start with, and you said you didn't want to get in any cell, you see, when you first came out here. But all I meant to say was, just a few pages, and you don't have to read the whole shebang, you see, just a few pages and several of these.
Yeah, I'm going to expose myself.
We'll show you, kind of, the approach.
Yeah.
You see, my assumptions would be different from yours, but that doesn't hurt anything, you know. Mm. You see, I work from the assumption that, there's an inquiry, but no answers. If there were an answer, it'd be awfully dull. If you would answer an inquiry, it'd be worse than not knowing. Mm. And you see, I'd like to take position, but I've never got a hold of anybody, you see, that would talk to me in my terms. See, he could do it, but I can't use his terms. I'd like to consider religion as something without content. The thing that balls it up, you see, is Elijah. Once you mix it with content, you're gone. Because the vast number of people, you see, can't handle content. They have no conception of it, see. People like Cookie are at home in that experience. You see, you get out of that experience and somebody else has to do the talking. That's the way most of the world is. So that you can't have actually religion with content.
But you know, we have something a little in common, Cookie. A few things that you can say about ourselves and he can say about himself. I think we genuinely have find it. Shared. When he's talking about, as he did this evening, about not being permitted to do things because he doesn't have certain diploma, certain degrees. We can understand that, and we can see that that would be a problem, and we could put ourselves in his shoes, though we're so unfortunate as to have degrees. Nevertheless, we can put ourselves in his shoes and.
Yeah.
See that this is a pretty ornery sort of thing.
He can't put himself in our shoes.
That's
we have to do the adjustment.
Oh.
See, we have to do the adjustment.
Very good. Yeah, I see.
In every case.
Now that's the one thing you see. You get out of college is you can if you will. You don't necessarily do it, but you kind of get the faculties. Where you can.
Yeah.
You can look at it from somebody else's point of view, and he can't do that.
Yeah.
No. But we had to study it to know.
Yeah, that's a little gear, you know. That's a little shift that they don't, any of them have. But they got so many fine things. It's just amazing. Just amazing. And Suzanne can see it. Oh, she can see it. It's just marvelous to see her record it. She can talk it. She can write it. But she doesn't, because she gets hung up on all this colonial history and stuff like that.
Well, I bet you Cookie sees things. Well, you know, well, you have, you know, you do some things that Cookie's doing. When you talk about cows, Cookie can talk about cows, because that's part of Cookie's experience. When I talk about problem with people who use a difficult language, Cookie, I think, understood what I was talking about. And I think he appreciated it, because I think he may have occasionally heard someone over TV or pick up a book, and the language is just need not be used. It could be the way he wants to. It could be simple. And I think Cookie has solved
it. Now, didn't
he
pick that up and told that story of Mr. Lake?
Yeah.
Wasn't that amazing?
Well,
I'll be damned.
Wasn't that
amazing? So he couldn't grasp my world.
Well,
he saw into my world.
And put it into experience.
Right.
He did it right
there.
This is something I've had.
Let me tell you what I have in common with you. There's something different, but there's something very...
But he doesn't make transitions, you see. You labor your transitions.
But... Yes, he did.
That's amazing, isn't it? It is simply amazing.
Well, I don't think it's too amazing, is it, that people can have something in common with you and me, even though they have not been to school?
Well, the light touch he had, and Mr. Lake, he says,
yeah.
You haven't been to college. That's all he said.
Yeah, that's all he needed.
You see, I just stood there and cut myself. This thing here.
It's a good knife, I told you.
Yeah, I love that.
Real good.
Point. But when I get to stand there cut myself, you see, I'll do that, you know, and first thing you know, I'm just gone. Hey? What is Mark coming back out here?
He's going to sometime start at 7 o'clock, be there by 7 o'clock. I'm riding in this direction.
Okay.
God almighty, he better
and,
get out
there.
You know, I'd give anything to get out there and work with them goons. I would give anything to do that.
Work with the goons?
Grooms.
Oh, yeah.
I'd give anything.
Oh, I'm very excited about that.
You see,
really
they won't work with me at my age. They won't, you see, they won't take me on.
You
got to be young.
Yeah, they may not work with me.
Oh, yes, they will. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm very excited.
I don't know them all out there. I know Bill, if he's still out there. Yeah. He's, Oh man, life and that woman out there. Now you talk about moving. She can move. Oh yes.
Is some woman who grooms?
She runs the place.
Oh, Mrs. Davis.
Mrs. Davis. Oh yeah, she's a dynamo, and she's just as interesting as she can be. And you talk about telling her what happened. She can tell you. Oh, I just love to be out there and listen to her.
Yeah.
I just listen to her. I'd like to hear her bark at me.
Yeah.
Oh, she can bark at you. You just be stupid and let her bark at you.
I usually am stupid until I learn the rules of the game. Well, another person goes about things.
Oh, yes,
yeah.
She
okay.
Can do it.
Well,
she's got a gift of language. She has. I don't think it takes much to get it going.
Well, you might as well cancel an appointment.
Down there where the light is, where you can see.
Oh, let's see. Irvin.
Follow there.
Yeah. Real easy. On past McIntosh, on down to past Orange Lake, and there's a on top of a hill up there. There's a Marion Market on past Orange Lake, and it's on the left. And then you turn left there to Irvin. It's Irvin.
Okay.
And it's just a little bit down till you come to Sunshine Stud, the horse farm. And she'll either be up at the barn or down at that house as you go in. You turn in and ask for her, and she knows you're coming.
Oh, well,
and she said, be there at 7 o'clock.
This is really.
And you'll start work at 7 o'clock, and I don't know what your time off is going to be.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I'll just.
Yeah,
but the thing about it is, now we hadn't, you're not through with us.
No, I'll give you a ring and try to get down here and
well, you see what
I'll have to see what my schedule is like.
And you'll also have to work late in the afternoon and late in the evening lots of times.
Yeah, okay.
Because, you know, horses have to be fed. And,
this is fantastic.
She's looking forward to having you.
Thank you.
Oh, hell, babe, don't make it polite.
She's gonna work the socks off of you.
Yeah.
Look out, Sam. She's tough.
Well, I just feel my way to see what it's like, you know.
Now, don't go around. Nothing will be said about any degrees or anything else.
That's good.
And nobody else down there. So you just...
Well, I usually let people know there's no talking about degrees.
You just don't even mention degrees.
Right.
You barely got through high school.
As far as I know, I just had trouble with college and that's all.
Now, you won't hear any talk like that.
That's good. Okay, well, thank you very much, Faye. I get in contact with you pretty soon after I'm with her. Maybe... a couple days. I'll be ready to tell you what it was like.
Come by here, Mike.
Yeah, huh? Come by.
Well, I might do it. Tomorrow or the next afternoon.
Finish that strand down there.
Yeah.
We'll do. I've got uppermost strand to get on the last.
All right.
The second one.